The bridge of the scout ship was quiet, despite all of the activity, which was one thing that Marduk appreciated about his horde of Nephilim minions. Silence equaled efficiency, and that was how Marduk liked it. Then Hades entered the scene, grinning from ear to ear.
Sire?
What is it?
I managed to activate the communicator in Hera's quarters to engage in some espionage. Quite illuminating. She has betrayed Zeus to the people from Cerberus. Also, when alone, she babbled to herself all sorts of incriminating things. I think my psychic attack has unhinged her mind. Right now, Hera is in her quarters with Bridget Baptiste. Hera was apologizing as they came in. The weak-minded bitch may not even have the mental strength to operate Skybreaker.
Which leaves only those annoying robots.
The ranks of your Nephilim have been replenished and rearmed from the stockpiles in the crack. The mechanoid's soft metal chest plates will render them vulnerable to the asp blasters. And should Zeus come against us, we have a skimmer ready for launch. Even secondary orichalcum cannot resist the main guns of a skimmer.
Didn't you gather from Hera's thoughts that the gear skeletons would be upgraded?
With weaponry available in the heart of the crack. Still, nothing more than you said Cerberus had when the Anunnaki struck at them.
We sent a strike force from Tiamat. It was an army, and they inflicted losses upon the Nephilim.
Losses to the Nephilim, who we can create with ease. And if the Olympians do somehow manage to repel our forces, we raise the ship and use the really powerful guns against them. One shot, and the mountain housing New Olympus will collapse like a house of cards.
You seem to be champing at the bit for revenge more than I am. I didn't get to where I am by fighting to the last and risking my life.
You are an overlord. They dared to defy you.
Fine. One wave. If that fails, then we raise the ship and fire a few salvos into this godforsaken set of rocks. I'm tiring of this place. There are prettier peaches to pluck, my little ape.
As you command.
Hades turned to walk off the bridge when his head snapped back. Blood and teeth bursting from his shredded lips. The former magistrate launched into the air as if shot out of a cannon, sailing backward into two Nephilim who tumbled from their workstations.
Ah, Grant. I was wondering when you would get here.
The massive Cerberus warrior turned off his fiber-optic camouflage. Hades' blood dripped from Grant's knuckles as his mask shimmered, showing off his face as if through a window in the black bodysuit.
I was wondering when Danton was going to shut the fuck up.
Marduk looked around at his Nephilim, who turned in reaction to the intruder's sudden appearance. Though they hadn't been equipped with asps, they were clad in smart metal armor, and each had considerable strength.
So, where's Kane?
Grant shrugged, flexing to loosen his muscles.
Making the most of my distraction.
All hands! Be on the lookout for Kane!
Kane glanced up and planted the last of his half-dozen satchel charges in a space behind a rib support by the outer hull.
Time to do more damage and get noticed.
He crept down the hall till he found a pack of Nephilim reporting to a duty station to retrieve their asp blasters. Pulling an implode grenade, he hurled it down the hallway. The soldiers looked down just in time to see the implosive vaporized atmosphere create a sudden influx of matter and air. The Nephilim, despite their smart armor, were squashed into compact pulpy masses, blood gushing from the crumpled neck holes in sprays of gore. Mangled asps lay around the implosion site, the armory cabinet wrecked beyond recovery as other Nephilim gawped in dismay at the sudden disappearance of their brothers.
This way, boys.
Kane dropped his cloaking. Two of the Nephilim warriors spotted the intruder and charged, while the remaining trio raced to a hatchway, presumably leading to another chamber of the scout ship, where they'd have weaponry on hand. The Sin Eater snapped out, and Kane caught one of the retreating soldiers before he was through the door, a 240-grain bullet shattering the Nephilim's head. Kane snapped a spin kick into the jaw of one of the charging crew members. It shattered the Nephilim's mandible in mid-stride, hurling him to the floor. Kane dove for the cover of a ribbed section of wall. Energy bolts ripped through the air from further down the hall, sparks flying as they tore into the bulkhead. Kane swung around with his Sin Eater and ripped off a long burst. Two of the Overlord soldiers jerked violently as powerful slugs smashed through their throats and skulls as their allies ducked back behind the arch. Secure that the knot of Nephilim was staying put for a few moments, Cain unhooked another Gren, this one an incendiary bomb, and whipped it underhanded. On the smooth, seamless floor, the grenade skidded swift and true toward the soldier-packed doorway. The humanoids flailed, dying reflexes spitting bolts of asp energy into the floor as the blazing cloud darkened into a roiling canopy of choking smoke. Cain stepped back through a doorway, leaving the crumpled bodies behind. Flickering embers of charred hide fluttered as the ship's fire control systems engaged, sealing off the scorched cabin behind impenetrable fireproof doors. Atmosphere vented from the room as the ship produced a localized vacuum in the area. The sealed doors gave Cain some protection from the front of the ship, so he reloaded the Sin Eater. He figured that by now, the shore above would be teeming with the robotic warriors of New Olympus.
Here goes.
Cain pulled the detonator for the satchel charges and hoped that Grant left enough bridge crew alive to initiate surfacing procedures. The scout ship shuddered as powerful explosives ripped gaping wounds in its hull. By the time they reached Hera's quarters, Brigid had to support the Queen, whose strength was drained away by telepathic-induced trauma.
Fucking Danton! No. No! All troops. Patrols. Oh. Expect hourly reports. Shit!
Oh, this is bad.
Helping Hera through the doorway, Brigid dumped her on the bed. The smart metal armor flexed and jerked, moving as if it were alive on its own. Whatever Hades had done to her, Hera's thought processes seemed shattered. The woman's black eyes stared helplessly, panic churning behind them as she sought some form of anchor.
Hera? Hera! Listen to the sound of my voice! Focus on me!
Despite the darkness of Hera's eyes, Brigid was able to see that her pupils were wide, even though they were staring at a ceiling fixture that burned brightly. Brigid decided to take a page from Cain's book of brute force. With a good wind-up, Brigid brought the palm of her hand around in a slashing arc. In the milliseconds before the slap landed, the Goddess Queen came around and intercepted Brigid, seizing her wrist with all the power of a vice. For a moment, Brigid was terrified that Hera had broken her arm, so forceful was the grab.
Ah! Hera!
You shot yourself in the foot.
I'm fucked, aren't I?
Hera's eyes focused on the panicked archivist she had trapped by the wrist.
There hasn't been a word invented for how badly off you are now. Maybe, in your honor, when the world grovels at my feet, I'll call this being Bridgeted. And all humanity will remember the day that your limbs were hung from my rafters by loops of your own intestines.
Brigid lunged forward in a headbutt. Blood from Hera's smashed nose sprayed all over Brigid's face, but the grasp on her forearm loosened, and she stumbled away from the bed, scurrying as the silver-skinned queen clutched the crimson faucet that used to be her nose.
You sorry bitch! You smashed my nose!
Well, I do that when someone talks about dismembering me!
Hera stood, one hand clamping her nostrils shut, but the other swelled, expanding, forming into a spiked club similar to the one with which she had attacked Cain. The jolting memory of being struck in the head with a steel pipe flashed across Brigid's mind. She'd only barely survived that. Brigid plucked her TP-9 from its holster and stiff-armed the pistol, pulling the trigger as fast as she could. The front sight was leveled on Hera's unprotected face, but in the instant after her trigger finger flexed and the bullet erupted from the muzzle, a flash of quicksilver threw itself down across the queen's face. Brigid's bullet deformed against the smart metal, freezing against Hera's silver cheek like some form of leaden birthmark before it plopped to the floor. Silvery eyes watched Brigid.
What a cute little toy, Baptiste. You wanna see mine?
Brigid scrambled back as the serpentine heads of the asp pulsed and writhed around Hera's forearm. She lurched for the door, the floor boiling behind her as a gout of energy flew from the goddess's gesturing arm. In another heartbeat, Brigid was through the doorway and out in the hall, racing for her life.
Domi! I need a bigger gun!
Brigid's distress call reached Domi and Sela Sinclair at the same time.
Shit!
Domi charged down the halls, packing a copperhead submachine gun, Sinclair on her heels, wielding an M16 with a grenade launcher.
Domi! What if these guns aren't big enough?
Improvise!
Brigid scrambled around a corner in front of them at full gallop, not even slowing as she bounced off a wall and raced towards her comrades.
She's coming! Get back!
Domi skidded to a halt and dropped to one knee, leveling the copperhead at the intersection that Bridget had just passed through. She held her finger off the trigger until her friend had cleared the line of fire. Sinclair dropped to one knee just beside her.
Thought you said she was coming!
Thought I asked for a bigger gun!
Holster's open!
Bridget grabbed the Detonix 45 out of the albino girl's holster and looked at it, weighing it against the empty TP-9 in her hand.
This isn't going to be enough! She's taking her sweet time.
Is that Domi, I hear? Domi? Child? The snotty little freak who shot me in my fucking neck?
Pretty damn salty for a goddess.
Yep, it's me! Let's party, bitch!
Bridget sat up next to the other two Cerberus exiles, the 45 cocked and aimed at the corner.
She'll plow right through us with that asp. She tore a chunk out of a wall with a blast.
You're still alive, and she's still slow.
It was only then that Domi saw the normally long, flowing locks of red flame hair that cascaded over Bridget's right shoulder were gone, blackened curls flaking away over one of Bridget's ears.
She doesn't need to rush!
That's when Hera chose to make her entrance. The silver and gold-skinned goddess had been replaced by an 8-foot Amazon whose right hand was a hydra-like slithering mass of bobbing dragon heads. Two massive ram horns curling down in spirals framed her face. Deranged chrome eyes regarded the trio holding the line in the hallway.
Hello, girls. Do you think this look is too much? I can hardly tell anymore.
Domi pulled the trigger on the copperhead, posing the shimmering metallic demon, but the rifle-powered bullets bounced off her armored hide. Sinclair's rifle and Bridget's borrowed 45 didn't do much better as Hera walked through the storm of bullets as if it were a light summer drizzle. Absently brushing flattened bullets off her torso, spilling them to the floor, Hera tilted her horned head, smirking.
So, no comment on the new look?
The trio's guns ran dry. Bridget grabbed a handful of Domi's collar and hauled her away as Cela Sinclair pulled the trigger on her grenade launcher, punching the shell into the ceiling over Hera's head. The missile detonated, belching a choking thick cloud of debris that crashed down around the armored queen's horned head and spiked shoulders. Sinclair waited long enough to see a clawed silver limb wave through the smoke, then turned tail and ran after the others.
We're going to need something bigger!
I told you! Domi, pull the Praetorians out of her way! She'll slaughter them!
Only Bridget turning the corner and yanking Domi to one side saved the two women from being incinerated by the asp cannon. Sinclair stumbled, ducking beneath the sections of the blown-out concrete wall, her body armor protecting her from bone-cracking projectiles. As soon as the asp bolt expended itself, Cela was up and running through the churning smoke, following Bridget and Domi back toward the hangar. Grant's huge hands wrapped around the neck of a Nephilim flight deck member, ready to throttle the Overlord's minion when the scout ship rocked under the detonation of the 6 satchel charges. The combined fury of 60 pounds of C4 in various compartments ruptured the scout ship's atmospheric seals, tearing ragged, brutal wounds in its techno-organic hull. Grant looked at the Nephilim, then shoved the flight crew member toward a control console.
Unless you want to drown, Ducky, you're going to have to tell your boy to get this ship in the air.
Marduk glared angrily at the lone surviving minion warrior on the bridge with him. 5 corpses were strewed across the floor, one with his skull ruptured by a full-auto burst of Sin-Eater slugs, another sporting the handle of a knife with its blade jammed through his neck. A third still smoked, his internal organs roasted by a bolt hurled by Marduk himself. The final two were fused together at the face, shattered skulls rendered inseparable by Grant's incredible strength. The last survivor paused, indecisive.
You heard the ape! Lift off before we all drown!
The Nephilim genuflected, then turned toward the helm, powering up the engines. The scout ship lurched as its thrusters fought against the suction of the ocean around them, as well as the added volume of water flooding through damaged compartments. In the corner, Hades pulled himself into a sitting position. His mouth was a torn and mangled mass. Broken teeth had clawed his lips asunder, thanks to the power of Grant's punch catching him off guard.
Mopta, my mouth!
Marduk glanced toward Hades, watching as the human mopped the cascade of blood that spilled onto his chest armor. The Overlord turned back to Grant.
Haven't I seen enough of that today?
Tell you what, Snake Face, you won't have to look at anything else if you just stand still.
It's almost tempting, but no thank you.
Marduk flicked his eyes toward Hades. Grant was on him in a heartbeat, slapping aside the asp. He shoved his Sin-Eater under Marduk's sternum. Emptying the 20-round magazine at contact range didn't tear through the Anunnaki's personal armor, but the Overlord bent forward. With a shrug of his tall, powerful frame, the Overlord hurled Grant against the bulkhead. Mordek brought up his asp-wreathed fist to repay Grant, but the Cerberus warrior's stovepipe leg lifted a boot up to Mardik's jaw, snapping back his head. Only the Anunnaki's superior strength kept the kick from breaking his neck. Mardik reeled, stumbling against the Nephilim pilot. Water sluiced off the ship, the viewscreens now showing the Greek sky, crystal clear over the Aegean waters. The Nephilim pilot continued his task of raising the wounded scout ship out of the sea, thrusters powering the craft ever skyward. Mordek winced as Grant slammed into his back, the ex-magistrate's rock-hard shoulder nearly buckling his spine under a diving impact. With a pivot, Mordek spun Grant around with a wicked elbow to the jaw. Grant rolled with the force of the punch, saving his cheekbone and mandible from being obliterated. Grant lurched back, grasping Mordek by the back of his head and smashing him face first against the viewscreen. Mordek's scaled-armored face tore the digital plasma surface, and gel seeped from the gash scored in the pliable screen. Mordek dug his taloned fingers into the console and pushed back hard, hurling himself onto Grant, toppling both combatants to the floor. Mordek raised his elbow, this time certain of a bone-snapping stroke, when he spotted something on the screen. Along the shore, a bronze-colored armada of mechanoids stood, festooned with far more impressive weaponry than he had seen before. Grant sneaked his arm around Mardik's throat and squeezed.
Welcome to target practice, ducky. As much as I'd like to stick around and rip your head off your sorry shoulders, I didn't sign on to have my ass shot out of the sky.
The scout ship shook, punished by withering fire that rose from the coastal force. With a twist, Grant slammed Mardik headfirst into the floor. Blood flew from split Anunnaki hide.
Goodbye, Mardik.
Slithering to his feet, Grant glanced at the Nephilim trying to control the scout ship. The thrusters were failing, and the deck heaved to and fro. Further stability was hindered as the rockets and grenades lanced along the flank of the scout ship, explosions rippling through its wounded sections. Grant launched himself toward the door, seeking to escape the bridge. Hades lashed out, grabbing Grant's ankle and holding on with a death grip, twisting at his leg.
If we die, you die too!
Grant looked at the pathetic clone master, his face smeared down his chin and dripping on the floor beneath him. Grant wrenched his foot free, then stomped down hard. The first kick folded Hades' nose flat into his face, popping more teeth loose from his lower jaw. The second kick crushed his forehead in. Lifeless fingers slid down to the floor. Then Grant was in motion, heading toward one of the airlocks.
Kane, you there?
Just about to take a swim. Care to join me?
Grant stuffed a high-explosive grenade against the airlock, then tucked himself behind a rib of the bulkhead.
Be there in a moment. Save me a towel.
The grenade tore open the hatch, and Grant swung around the rib, hurling himself into the open air, sailing to the water 60 feet below. Dozens of Nephilim crowded the outer deck of the listing ship, firing their asp weapons methodically at the attacking Greeks. Artemis sidestepped, a tendril of asp energy cracking to the ground at her feet as she hurled another javelin at the hovering monstrosity that bled smoke into the sky. The warhead speared into a shorn bulkhead. Behind her, rows of Praetorians fired disposable rocket launchers from the cover of boulders, turning the once blue noon skies into a crisscross of lightning and cottony smoke trails. Zeus held up his secondary orichalcum chest shield, redirecting energy blasts away from a Praetorian guard. Artemis swiveled the 50-caliber heavy machine gun on her shoulder toward the Nephilim. The massive weapon belched out a stream of rounds, its muzzle flash burning brightly even in the height of day, easily crossing the few hundred yards between the cliff and the Overlord's ship. On the deck, Nephilim twisted under the heavyweight bullets that had been designed to punch through tanks and aircraft. The once invincible armored warriors burst apart under the relentless storm of lead. Asp bolts smashed against her, and while Artemis was pushed back, pain flaring through her cybernetic link to the towering robot warrior, the mechanoid still stood, her new armor boiling off molten slag here and there. She could see through apple-sized gaps burned in the Sandcat armor door over her cockpit, but if she'd only had her old copper armor, she knew she'd be dead by now.
Enough of playing nice!
A 25-millimeter chain-driven cannon rested on her right shoulder, and Artemis cut loose at 350 rounds per minute. The inch-thick, high-explosive shells struck smoldering wounds in the side of the ship. A dozen 25mm explosive rounds later, the last of the Nephilim hung like ragged laundry.
Great shooting, Artie. Good thing Marduk was ignorant of your upgrades.
You feeling like you've gotten all the angst out of your system now, fearless leader?
Yeah. This might not make up for everything, but it's a start in the right direction.
Good. Because New Olympus needs a leader, and there's no way in hell that I want Hera still at the helm.
Mechanoid and Nephilim alike held their fire, the mournful cry lasting nearly a minute. Praetorian soldiers trembled at the unholy banshee song that knifed through the land. Ares lowered the M61 Vulcan that he wielded like a rifle.
What the hell was that? Oh man, look!
Artemis glanced up and saw that the mountain ridge above them was lined with a wall of clones, their yellow eyes wild and feral. None of them carried weapons, and they all cried tears of blood, nostrils frothing pink foam. She shuddered.
Zeus, good news, bad news time.
Give me the good news.
Hades is most likely dead.
And the bad news is that now we have a couple of thousand wild things no longer on a psychic leash. Praetorians, fall back behind us. Warbots, hold the line. No more Greeks will die today.
We used up most of our ammo on the scout ship. And it's still floating there.
We've got the advantage. They're too wild now to use any form of technology. The scout ship too wrecked to be of any use to Marduk, even if he can get it higher in the air.
Artemis glanced back, seeing shattered canisters rolling out of the ruptured belly of the craft, splashing into the turgid, muddied waters stirred up by the hover thrusters.
Zoo!
Those are the clone bats. Nobody's making any more of these things.
A boulder sailed through the air, arcing over the front line of mutants who were standing their ground. The rock bounced off the hillside and bowled over a Spartan warbot, popping the joints out of its shoulder and hip with the power of its impact. The pilot opened her carapace, trying to sit the robot up as Praetorians ignored Zeus's orders and rushed to her aid.
Oh, hell.
Huge creatures lurched into view, shaggy ape-limbed monstrosities that towered at twice the height of the original Tartarus clones. Artemis could see huge curved claws sweeping out like scythes on the ends of their massive arms. The mutant mob surged down the slope, a wall of cloned rage bearing down on the defenders of New Olympus. Cain sliced into the waters of the Aegean. With powerful kicks, he plunged deeper below the surface as broken clone vat canisters splashed all around him. He dove deeper to keep from being slammed, glad that the rebreather mask allowed for use of the comtact for instant communications, even beneath the surface.
Grid, where are you? About 200 feet to your north. Looks like you'd better get out from under that shit.
Yes, I'm trying. Can you see anything?
The mask optics kicked in, but even so, you're stuck in the heart of a cloud.
Don't swim this way, then. No telling when something's going to drop out of the hold and break your head open.
Cain faltered when the bottom of a broken vat bounced off his shoulder, rendering his left arm numb, even through the protective capabilities of the shadow suit material. He curled the stunned limb against his chest and kicked with all his might, homing in on Grant's position thanks to his mask interacting with a contact in his jaw. The adaptive electronics provided Cain with a holographic indicator of his partner's location.
This is Central Command to Cain and Grant.
What is it?
Cat Beta is reporting casualties from a hard contact with Hera. Are you in any position for pickup? We need extra support here.
Casualties? I'm halfway to shore.
Negative. This is Zeus. Stay away from the shore. We can't spare the manpower to get you two back to base. There's too many mutants here.
Damn.
Cain finally kicked to the surface. 100 yards ahead of him, the scout ship lurched violently. A silvery object, 25 feet in diameter, fired out of its back, rocketing into the sky so fast that the air snapped around it.
Someone's hightailing it out of here.
Ain't Hades. Fucking Marduk.
The scout ship crumbled in its center. The horrendous stresses of hundreds of high-explosive rounds and Kane's rain of sabotage ultimately proving too great a stress on the superstructure. The scout ship split in two, the front end plunging into the ocean, propelling a wall of water toward Kane. There was no way that he could dive or swim out of the wave's path, so Cain went limp, relying on the life support systems of the shadow suit and sealed hood to keep him from drowning. Tossed head over heels in a helpless cartwheel, a chunk of bulkhead bounced violently off Cain's face, tearing his mask away. Reaching the face of the wave, he spotted the jagged boulders on the beach. He tucked his arms and legs against his chest, ducking his head down in an attempt to shield his skull with his shoulders. The wave collapsed, dragging Cain down hard onto the shore. But the ball he'd formed himself into had done its job. His back and shoulders absorbed a spine-jarring impact as he bounced off a boulder. The reactive fibers had absorbed some of the force, avoiding crippling injuries, though pain lanced through him from neck to ass. That was okay with Kane. Pain was a sign that he'd survived. Smaller secondary waves lapped at Kane as he lifted his head. Hands hooked under his armpits, hauling him to his feet as if he were a child. When Kane's vision cleared, he was glad to see Grant beside him again.
You okay?
Hanging in Grant's arms, trying to get his feet stable, Kane glared at him.
All right, ask a stupid question. Our buddies on the cliff are being hammered big time.
Kane pulled himself to his feet, moved his arms and legs, and was relieved nothing was broken. He flexed his arm, deploying his Sin Eater.
What are the odds?
You up for the fight?
Like we have a choice.
Then let's go. Hades whipped up a ton of Megatherium before he died.
Megatherium?
The bastard love child of an Allosaurus and a tree sloth. Spending time in New Edo gives a lad a lot of time to study prehistoric monsters.
Dinosaur sloths?
A giant, brown-furred monstrosity 10 feet in height lumbered into view, fierce black eyes glaring at the two circus warriors. It rose up on its hind legs, then raised one scythe-tipped arm to swing at them. Both Kane and Grant fired their Sin Eaters, 9mm slugs rattling against the creature's hide. The two men exhausted their magazines, only the final rounds finally bringing down the massive beast.
Dinosaur sloths. So glad that bastard Hades is dead.
Slapping a fresh magazine into their Sin Eaters, the two X-Mags stalked onto a battlefield where cloned mutants and primordial creatures fought against Mechanoid and Praetorian, Talon and Fang, Sword and Spike.
Let's end this.
They charged into the melee. Cela Sinclair applied a dressing to her lacerated biceps, wincing as the blood ran down her sleeve, dripping to the floor. Central Command shook violently, the roar of combat at the entrance threatening to burst her eardrums. Bridget Baptiste crawled back to Sinclair, reaching into her bandolier for more magazines to feed the borrowed M16. A Praetorian writhed in agony as a pulse of energy vaporized his right arm and shoulder, blackened flesh flaking away. The wounded Greek collapsed to the floor, but others grabbed his ankles and dragged him away from the doorway. Bridget jammed the magazine into place on the rifle.
Sinclair, how's your arm?
I'm not going to be able to use it anymore today.
Sten guns and bolt-action rifles sounded in the distance, breaking the pair's conversation. It was another flanking run by the defenders of New Olympus, opening fire on Hera's back to keep her from Central Command. Bridget swung around the door jamb and cut loose with her M16, firing at the silver-armored monstrosity as she turned on the flanking Praetorians.
You insufferable ingrates! I made you all!
Bulletproof and humble. What a winning combination.
Cela plucked a Colt 1911 from her holster, thumbing off the safety.
Bridget, please tell me you know what we're going to do against her.
Considering that her armor is absorbing operative mass from the wreckage she's striding through, I have a feeling that all these bullets we're pouring into her are only exacerbating the situation.
Yellow lightning danced through the doorway, turning tiles into airborne dust and debris. Sinclair could feel the shockwave coming off the erupting floor, even behind the shielding form of Bridget. The former archivist flipped the remaining scraggles of dangling, unscorched hair back over her shoulder, looking at Sinclair.
Are you okay?
I'll live.
Good.
Bridget grabbed Sinclair's bandolier, plucking out a 40mm grenade, feeding it into the launcher tube under the rifle.
What kind of round is this?
It's a Hesh. That might do the trick, if anything can.
Bridget leaned around the corner, then ducked back, another bouncing tendril of high-powered energy spitting down the hall. Consoles along one wall detonated, sparks and shrapnel flying. Bridget swung out again and fired the grenade launcher. Hera jerked under the impact, the high-explosive squash-headed shell puckering against her spiked and armored hide, then detonating, spewing a jet of superheated, metal-slicing, expanding gas through the smart metal. Hera's head thrashed as her silvery flesh heated through to burn the naked skin beneath, but still the insane goddess stood.
Baptiste! Baptiste! I'm gonna kill you by inches!
I thought Domi had some cunning plan.
Bridget glanced around the door jamb, watching Hera carve sections of wall away with gnarled talons. Steel rebar was grabbed by whipping tentacles of the goddess's hide, torn from the concrete before melting and flowing into the mass of the armor. More curved spines erupted from between Hera's shoulders, hanging over her head like the arched tail of a scorpion.
Domi's on her way!
Unbridled power broke through Hera's mind like a tidal wave shattering a dam. But the being that had once been Helena Garthwaite wouldn't have had it any other way. After all, why should she have been forced to settle for mere existence as a human sheathed in some pretty shiny skin when the ancient Anunnaki secrets bonded with her central nervous system gave her so much more? Her hand ached where broken carpals were still mending, even under the acceleration of cellular activity inspired by the smart armor. Her back stung, despite the signals fired through the neural inhibitor, neutralizing the majority of her pain. Every few feet, she absorbed another pound of ambient metal, ripping it from the concrete or gathering up spent bullets and expended brass to blend in with her armor. The soup of nanomachines worked swiftly to reconfigure the additional mass into more articulated, responsive, flat motors that flowed and flexed at the demands of her imagination. Boosted by the charged energy module in her asp, Hera was able to motivate her armor, and the adaptive nature of the smart armor analyzed the modules to form more units. Each step closer to central command brought her past power conduits that her whip-like stingers stabbed at, draining nuclear reactor-generated electricity to top off the imitation modules. With limitless access to additional mass and energy to fuel her ever-growing and mutating body, Hera had literally transformed not into a goddess, but a queen of hell. When she finished with Bridget Baptiste, she'd destroy the others and build up another new Olympus, this one reigned over by a pantheon of vengeance and spite. Her goal was simple. Reach Bridget Baptiste and peel the skin off the snooty little red-haired nerd for every real and imagined wrong inflicted upon her over the past decade. Invulnerable and possessed of strengths not seen even by the most talented of mechanoid pilots, Hera reveled in absolute power.
Hey!
She turned slowly, eyeing the tiny form of Domi perched behind a wheelchair. The albino girl's eyes were gleaming rubies, dripping hatred expressly for her.
Domi, little animal girl. How did you know that I wasn't all sweetness and kindness? Was your mother a wolf? Did you smell it in me?
No. You're just like the other creepy sexual predators I had to spend time with in the Tartarus pits.
Domi leaned on the handles of the wheelchair. Hera looked at the seat, seeing it was packed with fat pouches.
What's that? A booby-trapped wheelchair?
Matter of fact, yes. Want a ride?
Bring it to me, child. Let's see what your little primate brain can come up with.
Domi shoved hard, rocketing the wheelchair forward. Hera lifted her arm and fired the asp cannon. It spit a bolt into the packages and the seat before the chair had traveled 5 feet. The tendril of destructive energy split the chair in two, shredding the packaging, flutters of paper filling the air. Hera, confused, took 3 long strides forward, her improved gait carrying her to the wreckage of the wheelchair. One taloned hand scooped up the scorched pages of a yellowed old paperback.
You lied to me. Where's the bomb?
Who said the bomb had to be in the seat?
She jammed her thumb on the firing stud of her remote, and the C4-packed tires of the wheelchair erupted. Sheets of concussive force snapped the spines and scales off Hera's bulked-up armor. Overpressure hammered both sides of Hera's head, battering her eardrums faster than the smart metal could flow into her ears to deaden the shock. Her balance knocked out, Hera collapsed to one knee, the horned joint crushing tile and concrete beneath her. Domi stood up, sneering at the fallen goddess. Hera glared at Domi hatefully, foot-long claws sinking into the walls on either side of her. From her throat to her navel, rows of nails and quills erupted, each one needle-sharp and wicked.
Come here, you little whore!
I'm tired of coming to you, Hera. You come to me!
Surging with renewed fury, Hera pulled herself up to her feet. 2 hinged spines erupted from her back, unfolded and smashed into the floor, acting as a second set of stabilizing legs, moving in time to keep the balance-impaired armored queen from stumbling. Domi whirled and raced back down the smashed corridor toward Hera's quarters.
Bridget! Fire up the skybreaker! She's falling for it!
the Skybreaker. Hera's heart pounded like a trip hammer, realizing that there was indeed a single weapon in all of New Olympus that could bring her low. She had to reach the Skybreaker or lose it all. The two hinged spider legs jutting from Hera's back were joined by others, the long clawed limbs hefting her into the air, galloping through the hallways, hot on Domi's heels. Out of ammunition, Kane resorted to using the frame of his sin-eater as a club, hammering the steel body of the machine pistol against mutant heads with enough force to shatter skulls. His knife was broken in two, the missing section of blade snapped off in the jugular of one of the megatherium that had been trying to pry Artemis apart with huge sickle-shaped claws. The battle was ferocious, Hades' final legacy of clone rage proving to be a maniacal swarm that gave no quarter and required fanatical force to slay. Even the massive fists of the 15-foot mechanoids were only able to transform one or two at a time into pulp. Praetorians held a hillside, their Sten machine pistols and bolt-action rifles reducing the mutant crowds to half its original strength. The Tartarus horde still numbered close to 1,000, and the valiant Greeks were running out of bullets at this point. Kane stumbled over one of dozens of dead Praetorians, tripping to the bloodied earth beneath him. Scaled humanoids saw the former magistrate topple and launched themselves in wild abandon at him. Kane dug into the dirt to get out of their way when his fingertips brushed one of the Praetorian leaf-bladed swords. With a lunge, he dodged the two cloned mutants and scooped up the 2-foot-long length of razor-sharp steel. A third mutant charged and got beheaded for his trouble. Kane flicked the sword back from his decapitating stroke, plunging the point through the eye socket of another enraged hordling, skewering him through the brain. A savage twist freed the blade. A 10-foot shaggy beast stomped the ground behind Kane. He whirled, expecting to fend off a megatherium armed with only 2 feet of steel. Instead, Kane felt pity for the prehistoric sloth as Grant held it in a headlock, beating its skull bloody with the broken stock of a bolt-action rifle.
Die!
Kane spun away, swinging the leaf-shaped blade point in a wide arc, powering the razor-sharp edge through throats, jaws, and faces, inflicting lethal injuries on an encroaching swarm of replacements for dead hordlings. A swift reversal enabled Kane to slash another bloody swath through those not immediately felled by his first swipe. Ares and Hercules dropped on either side of Kane, their massive four-clawed feet crushing mutants into bloody pulps and taking pressure off the Cerberus hero.
Get to the Praetorians, Kane. You need a gun. We've got this mess.
Kane seized a clone by the throat, then beat his head against Hercules' knee joint, crushing the clone's head. He tossed the limp corpse aside and hacked through another mutant's neck.
Or maybe you don't need a gun.
Deep in his genetic memory, unable to reply to Ares, Kane tapped reserves of strength to overcome his attackers. And from the ancient double helix ladder of history, many rose to lend him their might and prowess. Kane didn't know their names, only vague identities. A Puritan with the strength of a fanatic. The warrior consort of a witch queen. A barbarian from the Cimmerian highlands. A slave who battled his way to possession of a throne and a crown. A lone crusader in an urban wasteland. His muscle fibers screamed for rest, but the willpower of a line of champions denied those pleas, and the mutant hordes toppled. When one leaf sword was bent beyond use, Kane scooped up another object, the gnarled barrel of a rifle, and he continued to beat and crush with it. The times that his hands were empty of weapons, he continued onward, punching windpipes, fingering out eyeballs, and twisting necks until he seized up a rock or a length of driftwood to continue his pounding.
Kane! Damn it! Kane!
The ex-magistrate looked up. He was kneeling over a dead mutant whose face was punched into a frothy stew. The dead littered the ground in every direction. Dismembered mechanical warriors were strewed across the countryside around them, and mixed in with the countless mutants Greek men lay. The hillside, though, was teeming with Praetorian soldiers too tired to cheer after the carnage wrought around them.
They're dead. The muties are all dead.
Kane couldn't talk. His arms hung limply at his sides. A broken megatherium claw jutted from a spot below his ribs, blood soaking down to his thighs. Kane nodded. Grant reached down and hauled his friend to his feet with a supporting arm around his waist.
It's over.
The bloody magistrate tried to push Grant off him.
I can still fight.
I really hope you don't hate me for this, but...
Grant didn't blame him for not wanting to quit, but he hoped that Kane would forgive him for the right cross that snapped him into unconsciousness. Grant caught him before he fell. A pair of Praetorians accepted the burden of Cain as Zeus walked over and reached down for Grant.
Hera's gone berserk. They need everyone who can still fight.
Count me in.
Grant climbed up Zeus's arm. Leaving the 23 surviving Spartan units behind, Zeus and the 6 operating hero suits bounded off to deal with the last threat to the beleaguered nation of New Olympus. Hera smashed through the doors to her quarters, battering aside steel bulkheads and the reinforced concrete doorframe. She'd lost track of Domi in the charge back. Her ancillary spider legs sank into the floor, gripping the ground beneath, seeking support as she searched through her bedroom.
Baltese! Domi! Come out to play!
Charged energy modules all along her body pulsed, humming with stored electrical power. The undulating hydra heads of her asp waved, glowing with a prepared bolt of devastation ready to blast Domi or Bridget into her component atoms. The laboratory door attached to her bedroom stood open, and Hera stomped through. Her wrathful gaze scanned for signs of the Cerberus women when she saw the Skybreaker core sitting off to one side of the lab. It was covered with cakes of plastic explosives hooked up to a central detonator. A walkie-talkie sat next to the detonator.
How are you doing, Hera? You know, for an uneducated outlander, I played you like a harp.
No! It's mine! You can't take it away from me!
The armor-clad queen lunged, snatching at blocks of explosive to pull them from the ancient column.
Goodbye, Hera!
Domi let the detonator fall to the floor as the final tremors faded. The tireless work of the Praetorian demolitions team had been instrumental to their success. All she had to do was suggest traps, and the brilliant Greeks interpreted her plans, rapidly fixing up the wheelchair as a booby trap, and finally lacing the Skybreaker core with enough C4 to ensure that neither Hera nor her lightning weapon would ever threaten the world again. Bridget gave Domi's shoulder a squeeze. Domi rested her hand on top of Bridget's, smiling.
Good work.
Thank Grant. He gave me the idea.
What idea?
That there's no problem that can't be solved with the proper application of high explosives.
It's worked well enough for us before.
Hope you're not mad at me for blowing the Skybreaker to hell.
No. It was just too dangerous. Leaving it in one piece would only inspire someone else to try to take it. And then we'd have to worry about it all over again.
Central Command to Domi and Baptiste. Zeus and Grant are in the hangar.
Thank you, Cece.
Something shifted in the smoke-filled corridor. Bridget tensed, then dismissed the movement as settling wreckage. Hera's quarters, isolated from the rest of the installation, would never be accessed again, thanks to collapsed ceilings and caved-in walls. Hera's corpse would be sealed in the silent tomb forever.
Oh, no.
In disbelief, Bridget stared at a brilliant blue glow that was only partially diffused by the choking smoke.
Command, put out the alert to evacuate the facility. The bomb wasn't enough, and now I'm afraid she's integrated the Skybreaker into her mass.
She what?
Evacuate now!
The mountain trembled. Bridget and Domi suddenly found themselves lashed by violent winds. The corridor behind them collapsed, walls and ceiling crumbling into a compressed barrier.
What was that?
Bridget's green eyes flashed with a jolt of fear.
That was Hera making a backdoor to New Olympus.
Grant held on as Zeus ran outside in time to see a spear of blue lightning tear through the rear slope of the mountain that housed New Olympus. Grant's throat tightened, his jaw dropping in awe.
Bridget, Domi, are you okay?
We're fine. Hera's not interested in us anymore. We're insects compared to her.
Grant focused his mask's optics on the mountainside and saw Hera standing easily as tall as Zeus, striding through the massive hole blown in the side of the mountain.
Hera's big.
How big?
Call it 12 to 15 feet. The hell did she do, eat a sand cat?
Worse. Her armor ingested and absorbed the Skybreaker base unit.
Oh, Bridget, tell me you're joking. Because if she ate that...
Hera shimmered, disappearing from the mountainside in a flash that was all too familiar to Grant.
Where did she go?
She's integrated a threshold into her armor, which means she can transmit herself to any parallax point in the world.
Zeus turned, looking toward the ruins of the Oracle Temple. His telescopic cameras detected a flare of plasma wave energy mist in the ancient node.
I know where she went. Hang on.
The mechanoid commander whirled, and Grant held on tightly. Ares, Poseidon, Apollo, Artemis, Hercules, and Dionysus were hot on his heels as they raced to the oracle where Hera stood.
Grant, where's Kane?
He's out cold.
Hurt?
You mean aside from being slammed into a rocky shore by a tidal wave, then having a prehistoric sloth break off a claw in his gut? If anyone's earned a nap, it's him.
Grant, I'm gonna have to set you down.
Grant clambered down the robot's back as they stood at the base of the earthen ramp. Hera loomed over them, the air crackling with electricity around her. Grant had gathered up what weaponry he could from the Praetorians and pulled a collapsible anti-tank rocket from his war bag. The other robot warriors had replenished a meager amount of ammunition from wrecked Spartan units, giving them something to use against the armored madwoman. But as lightning danced between her palms, the assembled warriors were uncertain if even that kind of firepower was enough to handle her.
Helena, I'm gonna have to ask you to surrender. If you don't submit peacefully, we'll be forced to get rough.
This is just too precious. I'm to bow down to an assemblage of tin soldiers led by a scam artist?
Disengage your armor and just walk away, Helena.
The name is Hera Olympiad. And you would ally with this murderer?
Artemis hefted her last remaining javelin.
That's the thing. Sometimes when you ask for forgiveness, you actually get it.
Then forgive me if I don't roll over and allow you puny gnat to...
Grant's anti-tank rocket enveloped the construct's head in a blossom of flame and smoke that bowled it backward. Artemis's javelin was hot behind it, lancing between the massive silver breasts of the insane goddess, warped metal folding away from a crater. Hera's head was a fused and mashed mockery of what she used to be, but it was apparent after the initial blast that Helena Garthwaite's body was cocooned in the thickest, most heavily armored portion of the giant's torso. Heavy machine gun rounds rippled on the skin like raindrops on a pond. The combined firepower smashed into Hera, driving her backward, arms raised to ward off the incessant hammering of bullets and bombs. For a brief moment, it appeared that the new Olympian warriors and Grant had defeated Hera. A blue tongue of electrical fire lashed out from Hera's right arm, punching through the chest of Hercules, the Sandcat armor vaporizing under intense heat. Herc, the pilot, was nowhere to be seen as the armored tub he sat in had been scoured out of the chassis of the robot. The gear skeleton collapsed, useless and empty. Grant, having used up his anti-tank rockets, grabbed a grenade launcher and a bandolier of shells and raced for cover, barely avoiding a searing energy bolt that scooped out a 10-foot crater behind him. Hera ran toward the remaining six warbots, her fists forming into massive clubs. Poseidon stabbed at one of the queen's wrists with his signature trident. A powerful array of batteries in the shaft discharged, releasing an electrical current that shook Hera to her core. She grabbed Poseidon by his shoulders and threw him down to the rocks below. Apollo's Greek flame, a lethally flammable chemical concoction, washed over her at murderous temperatures, spewed from the flamethrowers on his forearms. Even as spines and scales melted on Hera's armor, she gestured with her hand. A lightning bolt slammed into Apollo's gear skeleton obliquely, spinning him and hurling him dozens of yards. Only the non-conductive nature of the secondary orichalcum protected Polly, the pilot, from electrocution, even though the cybernetic control system shut down. Artemis leaped, smashing her hard fist into Hera's chest, with Dionysus striking her in the small of the back from the other side. Hydraulic muscles meted out punches capable of shattering steel, and they knocked Hera to her knees. But Hera grabbed Artemis and swung her like a club, batting Dionysus into the ocean.
Little girl, you always were an ugly disappointment.
As she braced herself to hurl Artemis down to the sea, a leaping Ares collided with her feet first, slamming all three of them into the hard-packed dirt. But the silver goddess scrambled easily to her feet.
Simpletons! Why do you fight? I am all-powerful. I am the one who can call down the lightning. I possess the power of Zeus's wrath.
Oh, trust me. You've got Zeus's wrath.
Hera paused, quicksilver lips forming a malicious smile as she looked at the doorless gear skeleton standing before her. Zeus, in his magistrate armor, sat in the armored tub, holding the shield formed from his former chest piece. A Thunderbolt warhead rested in his other hand.
After all this, after all the other pilots you executed, after all the people you've murdered for Cobalt, you've grown a conscience?
It's hard to explain a sudden attack of conscience to a soulless bitch with delusions of godhood. You know, I really like the plan where all we did was retire from this war and be good guys until the end of our days. Why'd you give that up?
Because I'm not an imagination-impaired troll like you. What's the use of having these weapons unless we can enjoy using them?
Fine. I'll build a fucking target range for you. I love not the sword for its sharpness. I love that which it defends.
Oh, shut up! I should have never taught you how to read, Thurmond. It filled that empty cabbage you call a head with ideas.
Zeus lunged, hurling his Thunderbolt warhead at Hera. Hera rocked backward, but hinged spider legs extended from her back, balancing her upright. She raised both hands, gouts of lightning lashing at Zeus, but the mechanoid leader bounded, soaring over the bolts. He crashed down into her, shield first, driving her legs deep into the soil under a ton and a half of hurtling robot. That was almost enough to stagger Hera, but the bracing spider legs whipped up and around, one stabbing into Zeus's cockpit. A clawed point lodged through Zeus's shoulder, pinning him to his armored couch, the other trembling as Zeus's hydraulic grasp held it at bay. Hera twisted, struggling to push out from beneath the secondary Orichalcum shield, but she had no leverage against the massive mechanical leader. Lightning crackled at her fingertips, and Grant realized that it would take only a few moments for the telepathically scarred madwoman to realize that she could conduct lethal current through the spearing claw in Zeus's shoulder, frying him to death in a single surge of energy. Grant seized one final weapon from his war bag, an implode grenade. Priming the destructive weapon, he hurled the egg-shaped bomb at the murderous goddess queen. The implode grenade struck the hinged knee of the spider limb and detonated. The convulsive shockwave severed the joint. Zeus wrenched free, grinding his shield into Hera's face, pinning her down.
We need something to stop her! What did Domi do to deactivate the armor?
She hit the cyberport between Hera's shoulder blades, but we don't have anything that can penetrate to her.
I do.
Ares bounded forward, drawing his thermal axe.
Zeus, you gotta hold her up for me.
Do it! See you on the other side, Ares!
The amputee magistrate hurled his shield aside, scooping up Hera in a bear hug, crushing the armored goddess with all the power in his massive hydraulic limbs.
Go to hell, Thurmond!
Her smart metal armor ejected its lethal spines, murderous points spearing through the magistrate armor.
I'll be taking you along! Do it, Ares!
Hera whipped her head around, seeing the shape of Ares sailing through the air, thermal axe blazing in a deadly arc.
Damn you, Thurmond! I am a goddess!
Superheated secondary Orichalcum split through the smart metal and its added mass, carving aside the lethal layers of armor plating and burying itself into Helena Garthwaite's torso, severing the cybernetic nub between her shoulders. Suddenly the armor shut down, but the stored electrical energy discharged. A powerful lightning bolt shattered Ares' axe and hurled him onto his back. Blue bolts emitted from the fused pair of Zeus and Hera, and immense heat from the charged energy modules melted their armored bodies together into a single golden lump of wreckage. Deafening silence fell, weighing upon Grant like a stifling blanket. Stunned, he glanced around at the surviving pilots. Poseidon was crawling up the cliff, battered and with broken shoulder weapons, but alive. Grant turned to the melted slag that contained both hero and killer.
It was an honor, Thurmond Zeus. Rest easy.
The Temple of the Oracle would never be the historical archive to ancient Greece that it once had been. Bridget Baptiste regretted that lost piece of lore, but the site was ground for new history. The molten puddle of secondary Orichalcum and Hera's armor had cooled into a mirror-polished pool of glimmering metal. The Praetorians were planning to eventually craft a stone ring around the pool to honor the final resting place of New Olympus's greatest hero, the ex-magistrate once known as Thurmond. Brigid held Kane's hand as they stood beside it, pausing on their trek back up to the parallax point. Domi was saying goodbye to Diana and Aristotle, as neither relished the idea of pushing their wheelchairs up the long slope leading to the old ruins. As the two highest-ranking members of the new Olympian pantheon, they had the unenviable task of running the interim government for the Greeks, at least until they figured out some form of constitution.
They're in good hands.
Yeah. For once, we came to a place where the good folks outnumbered the crazies.
No, we're in Greece, which was the birthplace of democracy.
Yeah, but it was the Romans who developed a representative republic, and Americans who hammered out a lot of the dents.
Oh, please. Anyway, it's come full circle. We brought self-rule back to them.
Grant rested his hand on Domi's shoulder and guided her back to Kane and Bridget.
Phil Boyd's asking what's keeping us so long.
Respect for our friends.
Saying goodbye to my new sister.
Yeah. He's probably in a rush to get back and run his crooked card game.
Has it ever occurred to you that I might be pretty good at such things? Eidetic memory is killer at helping you count cards.
That would be cheating.
So? Phil Boyd cheats too.
Grant looked back at the new Olympian contingent, seeing them off. The four of them returned their farewell waves.
I'll think about it, Bridget. Right now, I'm just glad we're heading back to Cerberus.
Tired of this place already?
I just miss Shizuka, actually, but I don't think I'll ever be tired of Greece.
Yeah, especially now that we're practically family.
The four explorers walked up the ramp for the jump back to Cerberus. Outlander's Pantheon of Vengeance is a Graphic Audio production. Outlanders and all characters are trademarks owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2008, Worldwide Library, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2009, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Terrence Aselford, Thomas Penny, Nanette Savard, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Lily Beacon, Elizabeth Jernigan, Tim Getman, Peter Stray, Elizabeth Demery, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Graybill, David Elias, Joe Brack, Tony Nam, Jeff Baker, Casey Platt, Jason Stiles, Ren Casey, Tim Carlin, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Terrence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers, James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld and Brian Rogers. Adapted for graphic audio by Cheryl Hayes. The Outlander's theme was composed by Norman Vanderslice. Additional original music by Matt Webb and Chris Rowan. If you enjoyed Outlanders, be sure to look for James Axler's Deathlands, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Keep listening for a preview of another Graphic Audio title.
Bunny, I'm so sorry.
You don't know what they did to her. My daughter.
We need everyone's best to get her out. Lieutenant Sweezer's best is very good, and it could save Brun's life.
They're talking as if she were just a game piece. Unless she's dead, she's planning on doing something. And if we don't know what, we're going to find our plans crossing hers.
What are we doing?
End of the line, girlies. I get more from them for turning you in than from you for taking you on.
Brun?
All right, then. Let's do it.
Oh!
Can you pilot?
Release. Start up. Drive on.
She's heading back. Is she gonna try to land on the planet?
No. She's heading for the orbital stuff, and I think we should go get her.
You would volunteer for such a mission?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, the artificial gravity's on.
It shouldn't be. The station's a derelict.
Team Blue.
Lieutenant Sweezer here.
Two shuttles approaching with unshielded transmissions. They're planning to go in and kill everyone they find. He's coming in with way too much relative V. Gonna knock this station sideways. Counting down. 3, 2...
Serrano Legacy, Book 5, Rules of Engagement, Part 2, from Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.